is Happiness Solved with Sandy Scarlatta. Today, I'm speaking with Londa Latimer. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Happiness Solved. So it's Friday. Yay, we made it through another week. Today, we're going to be playing the rest of the interview that I had with Londa Latimer. And we're going to talk a lot more about the business that she was able to start as a result of the pandemic and how that relates to her daughter, Savannah. So I hope you enjoy it. It's really fun.
She watches things in different languages on her, on an iPad. Like she does she's amazing. She's just amazing to look at her and interact with her. You would never know that she's been through what she's been through. So
that's incredible.
I am definitely mama bear about that one.
That's incredible. And, you know, three-year-olds, I mean, I remember Brandon being three-year-old and I could understand him, but most people couldn't. And I'll never forget, he used to sing this song and he was like, Zupa, Zupa. And that's all we could hear was Zupa. And we're like, what is Zupa? And my ex-husband and I, we look at each other and we're like, what is Zupa? And then we realized it was the paper plates, that commercial. That was Zoo Pals.
Oh.
Remember the little paper plates that had yeah. the ears? So he was singing that song, and all we heard was Zupa, Zupa. And we're like, what the heck is Zupa?
Savannah sang songs too, but I'm like, where did she get that from? And then I finally hear it.
And she sounds like she's right where she's supposed to be as a three-year-old, you know?
Yeah, she is. She definitely caught up, which is, you know, that was another thing. It was like, okay, I got her here, right? I got her out of the NICU, and now I have to get her to where her development is on par with her age. So it's been
an
uphill battle.
If you got her this far, you can cross the finish line. Let me tell you, the rest is going to be downhill. It's going to be easy.
Oh my God, I hope so.
You've done this twice before. It's going to be fine.
I know. Yeah,
your only challenges are going to be the teenage years when you know they say the teenage. I know for me, I know you talked about when you were a teenage girl. For me, I was a living nightmare for my mother. Okay, I wasn't bad. I've always been a rule follower, very strict. I followed the rules. You know, I never missed curfew, but I was a nightmare. I would fight with her. I would argue with her. I was a living nightmare. And I was so grateful that if I was only going to have one child, I was so grateful that it was a boy.
I couldn't live with another one of me.
I couldn't. There's no way I could have.
I was definitely rebellious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely rebellious. And I think that, like, obviously, that's a teenage thing. It just is, you know, you test your boundaries and all of that. But Savannah is, I mean, a lot of her personality is showing through now. I mean, this is an age where they become like little humans, right? They're like little people. With their personality start to come through, and like you start to see like the type of person she's going to be. And she's very assertive. She's very bossy to Azariah, but she's the opposite with, you know, Isaiah. Like if Isaiah says no about something, like that's it. Like she doesn't like rev back at him or, you know, yell. Cause if Azariah says no, she's no, you know, she gets all crazy with him, but
well, I would imagine that I know she sees her father every now and then, but I would imagine that Isaiah is a constant in her life. And even though he's her big brother, he's kind of like a father figure to her.
Mm-hmm. She sees him and she's like, you know, she's calm, you know, she's real calm with him, and she'll get in his lap, and, you know, the relationships are so different. Obviously I know because their ages are different, but the age gap is different because Azariah obviously is the one that plays with her a lot, and she'll get Isaiah to play with her, but Azariah is the one that's like building forts and tents for her and all that, you know. She's like, I want a tent. Awaya, I want tent. Make me tent. You know, like she's so bossy.
Aww.
And like if I tell her no about something, she goes to Azariah immediately, like as if he's like the second adult. You know, she's like, mom said no. Like, can you do this or no?
So let's fast forward to 2020. Yeah. Here we are, 2020. Mm-hmm. So tell everybody what you have done because of Savannah's condition and the pandemic?
Yeah. So because Savannah was born so prematurely, she has chronic lung disease and she's also immunocompromised. So those two things makes her high risk for contracting the coronavirus. And once Isaiah came home from, once he made it home from school, from Kentucky, I decided that I was going to not engage in any outside food because I felt that if we did that, that that would be more risk in bringing something into the house. So I just said, we're not going to be doing any outside food and we're collectively as a family going to be doing that. And I thought I was going to get some pushback, not really from Azariah, but I thought from Isaiah, but I didn't, primarily because he had been tired of eating the dining hall food from school. So he was just like, well, okay, you know, no big deal. He didn't really care because he had been eating the dining hall food and eating out, like he was eating Subway and Chipotle. And, you know, so he was like, I'm all for the, you know, home cooked food. So
load me up, when they come back from college, they're like, what are you making tonight for dinner? It's like, what's for dinner tonight?
Yes, savages. So I decided that I would just cook every meal, which I did. And I started in April. And I just recently passed the 300-day mark of no outside food, which I miss my restaurants. I'm a foodie, and I love my restaurants, and I love my happy hours. And, you know, just I miss that tremendously.
I miss going to happy hour with you. I know. But I'm not going to happy hour with anybody else either. So, you know, I'm right there with you.
But it's like, you know, I once they did, you know, kind of open it up for dining in, and even the curbside, I wasn't doing delivery. I wasn't doing anything because I had gotten really mama bear and really just, I had my anxiety rose like 1,000 times over. And I'm like, yeah, I just don't want to see her in the hospital if I can prevent that.
Of course.
You know, I couldn't prevent her coming early. I kept her inside as long as I physically could and she had to come out. So I couldn't control that, but this I could control, you know, to a certain extent. So I decided that I was going to do everything within my power to keep or to minimize the risk to her. So I was doing, you know, cooking every day, sanitizing groceries, you know, everything was ordered and sitting outside. I had to go outside my gloves and sanitize everything. Such a whole, and I got groceries delivered this morning and I'm like, oh my gosh, like when am I going to ever be able to not do this? You know, like I was thinking that this morning, I'm like out there with my freaking robe on. You know, and my neighbors are used to it, so I don't even care. Like they're used to seeing me out there on my porch and it, you know, my gloves on, and I wipe everything down, and then I decided then I move everything on the side. I take things out of the container if I can and throw the container away. So it's a process. And then once I get everything sanitized, I have to put it all up, you know? So I'm just like, it's exhausting. Like after you do it, I go through that. I'm like, now I don't even want to do anything for the rest of the day, you know? But yeah, so I started doing that, and I started cooking, and then I started taking pictures, documenting, you know, the food that I was making, just because I know that Facebook gives you those memories, and I wanted to have something to look back on next year, this year, 2021. But my friends and followers and stuff on Facebook and Instagram, they were like, you should probably start a blog. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't have time for that. They were like, no, seriously, like, do you do this on the side? I'm like, do what? I'm just cooking food and I'm taking pictures like that. But I've always took pictures. That wasn't anything like,
oh, you,
new.
You take
everyone
pictures
knows I love
every
pictures.
Second of your life. Yeah. Yolanda. Yes.
Yes. So, you know, like that wasn't, I was like, guys, there's nothing new here. But Michelle Obama had a documentary out and I hadn't watched it yet on Netflix called The Coming, which is the same, entitled the same as her book. At 6 o'clock in the morning, which is my me time, I watched it. Tears, it was so moving. And I was like, if I don't do this now, I'm never like going to do it. So immediately after I finished watching her documentary, I went on Wix.com and I created my logo and posted it and was like, hey, I'm doing a blog now. And that was it. So I just started, I created the IG and started doing that. And then people were like, well, we want to know the recipes. And, you know, so I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even cook with measurements. Like, I'm just throwing things in here. So now I had to, then I had to start thinking and being cognizant of the measurements and like remembering what I put in there. And that was all a different thing for me too, because I wasn't used to telling people or even, you know, having to write out an actual recipe unless I was following someone else's recipe, which, you know, I was doing that. I was making my own recipes and following and also doing other people's. So after 100 days of cooking, I decided that I wanted to commemorate that with launching a website. So I, on Juneteenth is when I got my LLC, Rhonda's Laboratory LLC, which that name came from Mr. Isaiah, because he was seeing me, you know, in the kitchen all the time, like with the blender going, with the fan on. He's just like, what is going on up here? It's like your laboratory. So, it was like, so he's like, what are you making now? And I'm like, oh, I'm doing such and such, you know? So he was like, literally like your lab. So I took that and decided to name.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah. Cause it's a pun. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know, I could, spin on words, and because it really is like my laboratory, I'm always in there and creating different things. It's not scientific, but it's food. So it's a food lab.
But it's wonderful food. It's very creative and it's different and you put different things together that you would never imagine. And wonderful.
I've just been having fun with it. Like I've just been having fun with it, mixing, you know, flavors and stuff together, because for one, I never had the time to do that. Because pre-COVID, I might cook like maybe twice a week, maybe three times. That's pushing it. But
right, because you were gone most of the day, because you work full time. Most of the day, and you're picking up kids, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was tiresome. By the time I get home, it's like 6:30. Like, who wants to freaking cook, you know, at 6:30? So it's like you order something on the way home, or you order when you get home while you're giving baths and going over homework, and it just, you know, this whole COVID thing, you know, obviously was a blessing in disguise, as well as, you know, just throwing out some tests to people too.
For sure.
Because it gave me more time, for one, for me. And then obviously I started my own business, which I didn't think in a million years that I would be an entrepreneur of anything. I mean, I did have this dream that I might have wanted to open up a ballet studio, because I used to teach and dance ballet and jazz.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that about you.
Yes.
Oh, there's something I did not know about you. Wow.
I did not know you didn't know that. Yeah.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it didn't come up, because I'm a skating coach. You know, I'm a retired U.S. national skating coach. So I thought.
No, my mom was, we used to watch that. We used to, those were the things we used to watch Saturday mornings was ice skating. My mom really, really loved that. So we would watch that. I went to the New York State Dance Olympics three times. That was that they held in Syracuse. And I got some medals, silver. I never got gold. I got silver, and I think I got three silver and one bronze.
That's amazing. That's still amazing.
Yeah. So I really, really, that was my thing. Like, that was like, if I had ever done anything entrepreneurial wise, that's what I thought I would do. Never about food. Like, it just, that was never even on my radar. But obviously got another plan. So, yep.
But you know what? You found a passion, and that's what it's all about. Yeah. And sometimes, and I always believe, and I write about this in my book, that you can't just go out and find your passion. I think your passion finds you.
Find you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was never a writer.
It definitely
I was
did.
Never a writer until I was in my 40s. Yeah. And it kind of found me.
A lot of those things happen like in that age range, like, okay, well, now you really know what you are, who you are, right? Because you spend most of your teens and your 20s and even your 30s trying to figure out who the heck you are to begin with. And then once you've lived some and you've been through some stuff, then you're like, okay, I can actually say this is exactly what I want. This is what I don't want for yourself, for your kids, all of that, right? It all comes full circle. And then when things get shifted and they get mixed up a little bit, then you're like, oh, I lost my footing. Like, where do I go now? Like, what do I do now? And so this is what 2020 has taught, I think, everyone, is how to pivot, how to navigate when you are approached with, like, you know, your life is like stopped, like on a needle, on a dime and thinking like, okay, so how do I make money? How do I make extra money? How do I, you know, how do I maintain my household without going crazy because I'm in the house with my kids 24/7, you know, every day. So it's definitely taught me a lot. This entrepreneurship journey that I've embarked on has definitely taught me. I mean, I have so much more to learn. I just feel like because of this COVID, I've been in business for such a long time. It's really just been 6 months, I think. Or has it been 6 months?
Yeah, it's been almost 7 months. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And you have been featured nationwide, internationally. So you've had so much, a lot of local press, some national press, international. Yes. And it's, I've been sitting back and watching you just like amazed, like, wow, this is incredible.
And myself too. I haven't, you know, I was kind of like just going through the motions really. And I was like, oh, someone reached to me, hey, we'd like to feature you, or we'd like to do this, or we'd like to do that. I'm like, okay, okay. But not really seeing the magnitude behind that. Right. Because I didn't ask for any of it. And all I was doing was telling my story. Like, there wasn't anything else. I just, this is my story. And this, because of this story, this is why I'm doing this. And that's it. Like, that's it. There's no secret potion or like magic. That's, you know, people are like, well, how did you get? I was like, yeah, I didn't do anything except for want to protect my child. Like, that's all I did was be Mama Bear. That's pretty much what I did. It was the reason for all of it, you know? So when you are passionate about something and the driving force has had something to do with another passion of yours, like it's like double, you know,
for sure.
The thing. Yeah. So it elevates it just a little bit. And so for all the press that I have been getting and the people that I have met and interacted with and networked with and all of that. And it's like other people are watching that I'm not even aware of. Right. And then the messages that I have gotten from women all across the country and just, you know, how inspiring I've been to them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize the magnitude of it. Cause I've been on the other side, like watching someone else, obviously I'm watching Michelle Obama's documentary and she inspired me. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go out here and do this. Wasn't even thinking how it would inspire someone else. I just did it because she inspired me. Right. So then I realized that, oh, okay, what I am doing is actually like someone else is watching me and what I'm doing. And so that was like, oh, that was an eye opener too. Cause I was kind of like, I had blinders on a little bit and didn't realize how I was like affecting other people and that they were seeing too. Yeah. It was just like,
no, and that's just it. Because full circle, so. You never know who's going to be listening and you never know who's going to relate to your story. So I know I've kept you longer than we had originally planned. I wanted, do you have a little bit more time? Cause I do want to talk to you about one other thing. So, you know, I tape these in advance before they're going to be released. Mm-hmm. And this week we had the presidential and vice presidential inauguration. And I saw on Facebook that you and Savannah had on these t-shirts honoring Kamala Harris. So I want to ask you, as a single mother, a Black mother raising a Black daughter, just like Kamala Harris experienced, you know, her mother was a single mother. What does that mean for you? And what does that mean for you being a mother of a daughter who is seeing this for the first time?
For me, it is just amazing. Isn't even a word that I think could describe it in full scope, because I never thought that I would ever see a woman that high of an office in my lifetime. So even the gender itself meant one thing, and that she was a woman of color. So that was like a double whammy. And I just, I'm beside myself, really. And that's why I wanted so much to document it for Savannah because she's young and doesn't understand what's really going on. I mean, she knows Kamala when she sees her, but she doesn't know, obviously, the full magnitude of what it means to see her on TV, to see her in the White House, and to know that she's holding a high office and second, you know, in command of this country. And then not even that, but just her climb, you know, the things that she went through to make her mark everywhere she went because she was a woman and they were already, you know, not giving her the respect that she was due.
Right.
You
just know, because so she was a woman, not to mention
exactly
she was mixed
right.
race,
a woman of
color, right. you know, mm-hmm. Indian descent, yeah. the whole thing. Right.
Yes. Yep. So that was, she, you know, double thing for her, but it was definitely something that I felt it had to be in black and white. It had to be, like, I had to have something. And, you know, paying homage to her and her, you know, her blazers and her Chucks that she wore on the campaign trail, you know, and it was something that,
and there was some criticism about that. I'm like, why are you criticizing her?
There was.
Like, what's
mm-hmm.
wrong with that? I love it. That's awesome. This is 2021. Come on.
Yeah. And it's real because, like, who wants to be in heels and campaigning all day from sunup to sundown? Like, you need to be comfortable. Like, this is, like, actually,
that's reality.
You know, and this was a little different. Yeah. Because it was COVID. So it wasn't as, you know, as much, but she still had to do it. And you need to be comfortable, period. You know? So Hillary Clinton was she too was criticizing about her pantsuits and stuff like that. So, like, they wore pantsuits because they felt like if they didn't have that gave them a more of an armor of respect, right? Because if you have a dress on, you're like, oh, she's a little too feminine if she has a dress on. So if she have a pantsuit on, then we'll see that it looks like she means more business, right? That we respect her more. And it's sad that that's the way you have to form yourself in order for people to see that.
It is, but let's be honest, pantsuits are so much more comfortable than a dress. Mm-hmm. And I would
pantsuits
wear
are,
a pantsuit
yeah, it's a symbol.
Any day over mm-hmm. a dress, period.
Yeah, yeah. It's twofold. It's comfortable, and it's also a symbol of being strong, and you're not taking any shit in this and that. So, like, that's definitely a symbol that was set forth. And I think that, you know, paying homage to her in that way, because that was her thing. Like, she still had her pearls. She still had her hair done. You know, it wasn't all pulled back or anything. She still, it was all flowy. Still was, that part was still feminine. She just had on Chucks. That she had a blazer on, you know, but she was comfortable and she still fit the bill, you know? And so I decided that we were going to pay homage to her in that way. And that when Savannah gets older and she has her own kids and her grandkids, she can say that although I wasn't really aware of what was going on, my mom made sure that I was a part of it and that I was in it, you know, that I was there, you know, I was there and I was in it and it's documented so that I can have it for time. I mean, she's going to have all types of paper clippings and you know, stuff on the internet and stuff that she's going to be able to see anyway, which I'm ecstatic about. I mean, all my kids, you know, because I include them in everything. So they'll have that too. You know, the boys will have it too. So yeah, just this whole presidency, this inauguration, it means a lot to a lot of people, you know, not just women, but just a lot of people, because it was a lot of insaneness the past 4 years. And it seems like a little bit more. I mean, I slept better Wednesday night, I think.
I feel like I can breathe
than
again.
I had in a while.
I feel like I can breathe.
It's like a big sigh of relief.
Yeah. But and what I love, Londa, is seeing all the clips of the little girls looking at Kamala Harris and saying, she looks like me.
Like me. Yeah.
And I sit mm-hmm. there and I'm like, tears just roll down my face. I mean, I have cried mm-hmm. more in the past couple of days watching all of this, because it has just been so heartwarming just to see all of this. And it's just such a huge thing. And it's really sad that so many women are against her only because of their political beliefs, and they don't see the bigger picture. They don't see the bigger picture of what this means for the United States of America. It's not right now. It's not about politics. Yeah. This is not about politics right now.
Yeah.
This is about
progress.
This is progress and it's humanity. And we had to press the reset button for the United mm-hmm. States. And this is not about politics right now. This is just about let's unite and restore and bring humanity back into this country because we lost it the last 4 years.
Yep. It is. It's definitely. And that's, and I felt a way about that too, where women were so, there's some women, they're just like, wow, she hasn't done anything, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, politics aside, this is not,
I'm not having a political discussion.
It's not about that.
I refuse to discuss politics. This is not about politics.
Because I don't even do,
I don't do that either.
So it just, it is progress. It is, when you look at the history of our country and the vice presidents, it's all men. It's all men. And so our kids will, my youngest ones will see that, will know that from this point on, there is a possibility that there could be a woman VP or a woman president. Like there has to be, there's always a first. There has to be a first.
We had a first Black American president and we had a, now we have a first Black South Asian vice president. Woman.
And there always has to be one. Because they're trailblazers. That's the point. Yeah. Somebody has to do it first, right? And that's where representation matters a lot. And when you see it, then you can you don't feel like you are sheltered or that you are this is the highest you can go and you can't go any higher. Because that's the way you'll see it. If you don't see it anywhere, if I didn't see any Black judges or if I didn't see any Black CEOs or VPs or any of that, I would think before I knew better that that wasn't possible for anyone in my race or a woman of my race because I didn't see it anywhere. So that means it wasn't allowed, right? So when you are seeing it and the representation is there for you to see, then you're like, okay, my ceiling isn't lowered. It's opened up a little bit. Like the ceiling is open and I can do and be whatever I want to be because such and such did it. So I know I can do it. But if you don't have the representation, then you kind of feel stifled, which Black Americans in this country have felt for a very long time and also felt that they had to be twice as good to even be considered for any of these high positions or anything that a white person could just walk in off the street and get, right, without having any credentials or whatever, just because, he's better for the job because he's white.
But we're breaking through that.
He doesn't have a degree. Or whatever. Yeah. And that is the point. Like that's the point. We have so much more to go, obviously.
Oh my gosh. So much more.
This presidential race showed that, obviously. But we weren't where we were. So that, we weren't where we were. And that's what we have to move forward with this country is that we weren't where we were and hopefully we don't go backwards.
No, we can't go backwards. We can't afford to as a country. We have to keep moving forward and hopefully things will keep moving forward. And I think that, with the new administration, while it's not what everybody wanted in this country, we're very divided.
Yeah.
I just hope that everybody has an open mind and opens up their heart and kind of takes the blinders off and sees that the other possibility and sees that, there's so many Republicans that are willing to work with the Democrats and they're really trying to make this a whole bipartisan effort. And hopefully that will happen.
It has to be.
It has to happen
because it's literally split down the center.
As a country, we are doomed if they don't. And we are literally doomed if we don't. So we have to work together and we have to make so many changes so that the future is there for our children. And I know, like, for everybody out there, if you've got kids, we want this to be a great country for all of our kids. And, we're not going to be here forever, but our kids will and their kids will and their kids will. And we want it to be a great place that we grew up with,
Yeah, it's definitely some hope there. It has brought hope back. And, I'm ready to see, I'm holding this administration accountable.
Of course.
Period.
100%.
And so, just hoping to see, everything isn't going to be taken care of overnight, obviously, but I just feel better. I feel like there is someone that has some type of, that is qualified. I'll say that. Someone that's qualified in to do the jobs that they're, the people have hired them to do.
Exactly.
Elected them
and
to do.
And as much as people can make fun of Joe Biden, he is qualified for this job.
Yes.
And he's got a great administration that he's put together. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
the people around him, he's done a good job.
He's done a great job with that. So I just beg everybody to just keep an open mind and, you know, let's just come together as a country, because life is too short. And if you're going to hold on to all of these resentments and anger and divisiveness, you know, you're going to be miserable at the end of the day.
Pretty much.
Just, you know, you have a choice.
Pretty much.
We have a choice. You know, which way you're going to choose. You're going to choose to be miserable. You're going to choose to be, okay, let me keep an open mind here. And let's just kind of go with the flow. Let's just see what happens and, you know, build a better tomorrow for our children and their children.
I'm here for it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, Londa, we're gonna close this up now. Is there anything else that you'd like to say? Shout out your website, your Instagram handle, Facebook, all that.
Yeah, sure. So if you guys want to follow my journey, I am at Londa's Laboratory on both Facebook, IG, and on Twitter, I'm at Londa's Lab. I'm also on Clubhouse at Londa's Lab, which I just got another platform that I just got on, and I'm excited to play around more with that. But yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. And by the way, thank you for pulling me into Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
I have no clue what I'm doing. And we may need to have a separate call offline so you can educate me on Clubhouse, just like you did with Instagram with me.
Yeah, no, I actually sat in a session with my girlfriend. She had us do, literally, it was like, she did a really good job with like, it was like an onboarding thing. And she took us through everything. So now I know how everything works and what you do when like, the etiquettes and all of that.
Yeah, I need to sit down and like Google it and like, what is Clubhouse? Why do I need to be on here? Like, what is this? And yeah, I need to figure all that out. So thank you.
It's an awesome platform for, especially for anyone that has a podcast. It's awesome.
Yeah,
you can do, it's like a live, you can do like live podcasts. Like, you know, you can have a panel and you could just, you decide to start a room and talk about whatever you want to talk about that day and then get off. You know,
it sounds great.
Yeah.
Londa, thank you so, so much.
It
has been a pleasure. Thank you for taking time. And I know I've kept you a long time this evening, but it was such a great conversation. I'm glad it all worked out this time.
I know. Likewise. I'm like, man, I hope this one does good.
Yeah. All right, my dear. I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, honey. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Wow. So, you know, every time I talk to her about her story, I get more information and I'm just blown away. And the word that pops up is the resilience that she has. And I love talking with people that have been through so many things that I haven't experienced because, you know, I can't relate because I don't know what I don't know. And as I said, when I was talking with her, I've always said, you know, I've got this miracle baby because he truly was a miracle baby. But I really think that Savannah, you know, she beats my son on that one, that's for sure. So you can find Londa on Instagram and Facebook at Londa's Laboratory. Her website is londaslaboratory.com. And if you'd like to learn more about me, my website is sandyscarlotta.com. My book, Happiness Solved, Climbing 100 Steps, is available on amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. And you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Coach Sandy Scarlotta. So thank you so much for listening today. And I hope that you and your family stay healthy and safe and that your life is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.